Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, co-host of the program and producer, and we've got time for you right now. That's right. This hour of the program is your hour. 800-859-0957 is the number to call. Toll free anywhere you can hear me. Sound of my voice, whether it's in Canada, whether it's in Ohio, Indiana, or in Michigan, we'd love to talk with you and answer your questions. We've got a great team in here with Ed and Cal and myself. We're ready to answer your questions, so give us a call. Thank you for joining us for this, the second hour of the Internet Advisor. And we got a couple folks lined up. TJ and Gail will be getting to you in just a moment. Let me give you the number again, 800-859-0957. And before we get to our callers, it's time for us also to talk with Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. Mike, thanks so much for being here with us.
Thanks, Foster. I listened to Brother Guy's interview. It sounded like it went really well.
Wasn't he fascinating?
Could probably do 2 hours, I think, and still not get enough. You know,
Ed was saying that he has just a bag of stories that he has told and will be able to tell for a long time. He's a wonderful storyteller, and so anybody who's interested, Monday, he will be at that church in Berkeley at Our Lady Queen of Martyrs, if I have that correct.
Yeah, it's actually a school. It's an elementary school. So
It's in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, it's a church and school in Beverly Hills. Right.
Right.
In any case, Mike, thank you very much for making that contact for us. It was a lot of fun. And by the way, MI Tech News is great for making contact on all sorts of things going on around the state, whether it's in technology or in entrepreneurship. And some of the headlines that you were following, just to give people an idea of what they can get if they subscribe to MITechNews.com, what's going to land on their computers every week is something like, for instance, this headline about Toyota investing $1 billion in autonomous vehicle research in our area.
That's even more money than Gary Baker makes. So, I mean, that's a heap of money there, yes. But Toyota's been really active in the R&D right here outside of Ann Arbor.
Oh,
and now they're making a major... I mean, autonomous cars is where it's all going, mm-hmm. whether we like it or not. I mean, I'm a little ambivalent about it, but they're not. And they're putting their money where their mouth is, and that's a whole lot of money. So... it'll also eventually turn into 50 jobs, which is a good thing, too, because I'm sure those would be great jobs, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man, it certainly is. Ann Arbor certainly has become a research hub for many of the vehicle manufacturers. Another one I saw on here, and this is not too good news for those of us who try to take technology to the Michigan Department of State office. How many times have you waited there, guys, in line hours to have your number called?
Yep.
Apparently, MDOS, the Michigan Department of State, their whole online system crashed.
Yeah, this has been going on for a while. The state was really unhappy with Hewlett-Packard and fired him and got into a court suit. The long and the short of it is now it's gone 13 months without renewing, as it were. And so a lot of the records that were there, they're just not there anymore. They disappeared.
Lord.
And so they've set up a temporary fix on this, but they're going to go out and hire somebody else now to do all. This is not a small job by any means.
Lord, no.
So we're probably looking at months, if not another year, before this whole thing gets sorted out. But again, there's a fix there when you go to the Secretary of State site, maybe, and when you go to the offices, for that matter. Probably not as good as it could be, but just got to get her done, right?
Absolutely. Just don't wait in line that long. And maybe in a final headline I see here, and this is kind of a neat and interesting one. In California, they developed an application that allows airports to locate nearby drones.
Yeah, AirMap. I think this is a really good idea.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Enrico Schaefer earlier today, and I said, do we have any kind of numbers on what happened in the fourth quarter? And he said, I think it's close to 1 million of those things were sold in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
So we got a lot of the novice drone pilots out there that don't know the rules, that they can't be within 5 miles of airports and all the other stuff that goes with it. So now you've got this app that I think you probably still have to fix transponders on it. I'm not sure exactly how it would work. But at least the airport knows where these things are.
And that's extremely important for the safety of people flying on in and out on planes. Mike, thank you very much for those headlines. But those are just a few, folks, of the headlines that Mike offers us every week at MI Tech News. In addition to that, you've also got video resources you offer us and all sorts of good stuff that comes in twice a week on Wednesdays and on Fridays. And Mike, how much does all this goodness cost?
Nothing.
That's the good part. The gooder part, I should say.
The gooder, yes. I like that.
Go to mitechnews.com, and you can just simply put in your email address there, or go to internetadvisor.net, and you'll see Mike's smiling face on our website as well every week. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Foster.
All right, thanks again for the lead for Brother Guy. It was a great, great interview we had. You know, guys, we got some interviews. Let's see if we can get a question started here with Gail, who has called us from Ann Arbor. Hi, Gail, how you doing? And welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Pretty good. Yeah, I got a question for you. Do you think that Linksys with their routers anymore engineers these products so they basically break down after warranty? That's what I've noticed in the last two that I've owned is, you know, they work fine for the first year. And then, you know, you can't get online and I have to call tech support and pay them $30.
Ouch.
To do what they got to do to get it back running. And then it runs again for another year and then you got to call them again and give them another $30. And it didn't use do that. So my
no, it was a very reputable
and they're not replacing the Linksys, they're actually doing something to it.
Yeah, they just, you know, what I do is I give them access to remote control because it's so much faster than if they walk me through it.
Oh, you're talking
and
about tech support.
And it takes them an hour to, you know, reset it however they reset it to get it running.
And this is the company Linksys or it's asking Cisco
is,
now. Yeah,
this is Linksys.
No kidding. Kel, have you heard anything like this? Because usually I just do a hard reset.
Haven't heard anything like this, but I would suspect, and this is what I'm smelling from it. So every year, if I could ask the caller, you make sure to do firmware updates to your Linksys router, correct?
Well, they said they haven't had a firmware update on this, but when they do, they'd notify me.
Okay.
It's just I've noticed with the last two ones, instead of lasting for several years like they used to,
yeah.
You just got to go and pay them this $30, and it just seems like there's a little bit of a scam going on.
Well, you know,
What I mean.
I tell you what, we're going to do. We're going to put you on hold for a sec, okay? And we'll discuss this among ourselves here, and take a look at maybe what are some of the brands that we have come to trust for routers.
Right.
And maybe discuss a little bit of that and come back with answers for you, okay? Our number here, 800-859-0957. We've also got TJ out in Southfield and your call. We're waiting for it to hear you as well. Call us here at the Internet Advisor. We'll see if we can give you a hand. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, hour number two, and that's the question hour. The hour that you star. And don't let that make you nervous. We love just kind of talking with folks here. And our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So please get on board and ask us all the questions you want. 800-859-0957. And with us right now is Gail. Gail, you asked a question about Linksys routers. You've had a kind of a consistently bad experience where after about a year of using them, they just went kaput and seemed to be requiring and, you know, requiring a lot of maintenance and wondered, you know, is this planned obsolescence? So we kind of huddled ourselves. And guys, what do you think in terms of dealing with, first of all, the Linksys computers, and then maybe talk about some of the other ones that you guys use.
Well, you know, Ed and I were kind of banging back and forth talking about routers and that sort of thing, and we were trying to figure out, you know, which ones does he like, which ones do I like, back and forth. The ones that I currently use right now are Netgear. I use Cisco. I use and I use Apple. And believe it or not, Apple will work with PCs as well because router's a router. So those are the three brands that I use the most myself.
Right. And I just recently purchased TP-Link. So my previous Linksys was a wireless G plus, if you will. It was like, it just basically died and it was 3 years old. And the wireless signal just wasn't doing it. I had to reset it every night, it seemed.
Oh, wow.
You know, first it was once a week and then every night. Mm-hmm. I tried reflashing it, nothing. And I sort of agree, you know, ever since Cisco purchased the Linksys product and now it's really a Cisco route, I just don't see the quality or the innovation that used to be there. Mm. Sure, they may be, you know, coming up with better standards. I just don't see the products lasting as long.
I want to throw one more.
But I really liked TP-Link, which uses an open source version of the wireless router software. Very configurable. It automatically checks for firmware updates by itself. Okay. A lot of intelligence on these little routers.
TP-Link. I have to say, Gail, by the way, maybe this is throw one more log on the fire. I'm a Comcast customer, and they put their new wireless router in there. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I have had no problems with it. And it's been a wonderful wireless router for me.
Which brings up a question.
Is that the two-in-one router system now?
Yeah, I have a. You get 2.5 and a 5.
Yeah, don't you have to pay like $10 a month for that?
Well, in that particular case, you're renting the router.
Yes.
Yes, you do have to pay for it. But if you want to buy it.
Yeah, you're renting it, yep. And then they'll service it.
Yeah, the plus on renting is that when it does go crazy on you, then they come out and they take care of it, and you just get a new one. You keep going on about your business.
Yeah, but that's $120 a month.
That's
a year.
True.
That's why I bought my own, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
And that used to work really well until something's gone on with these Linksys. The other thing I want to tell you about the Linksys, just give your listeners a head up. A year ago, I bought a new Linksys, and this is the one that just recently I had to pay another $30. The one before that, I was having to do this $30 thing every year, and then I had to buy the new router and modem because I got a smartphone and an interface. So I installed that, and I had to call them to get them to install it, too, and it just took hours. I can't even tell you.
Okay.
But a couple days after that interaction, I got a call from some people who said they were from Linksys. And they caught me off guard because some of these companies will follow up with surveys and ask you if the service is good and that kind of stuff. And they were telling me that my computer had been invaded.
Oh, no.
They could tell this through the Linksys router. And I thought, I don't know if this is true, right?
Yeah. No.
And then they were trying to do this.
No. And it could, in all fairness, Gail, it could happen with almost any company.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Because these people are looking for any kind of a way in. But I hope you didn't deal with them.
Well, I dealt with it because I thought they were actually from Linksys, and I thought there was something I didn't know about capabilities.
Well, let it be a lesson to the rest of us. This is what's called phishing, and that's a good example of a phishing scam. I'm going to move on because we have a number of other people. But Gail, thank you for calling us and for sharing those things as well. I have to say, guys, in favor of renting it, as you said, Cal, if it messes up, I take it back to Comcast and say, give me another one.
Yeah, that's the plus on the rental. But as Ed puts up, you know, it's $120 bucks. You can buy an average router for that price. You can buy a really good one for a little bit more. So it all depends on which way you want to go. In
I bought an
case.
Excellent router for $46 at Micro Center and the TP-Link, and it works great.
Good. It works for you. All right, let's go to TJ in Southfield. TJ, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you?
Hello. Hi. Yeah, I have a laptop, and it has Windows 7 on it.
Okay.
And I long time decided that I didn't want to upgrade to Windows 10.
Okay.
But and so I have a little icon that pops up with notifications. And
it shows up in your tray. It looks like okay.
Yeah,
the Windows 10 thing.
Yeah, and I would close it, just use the red button and close it. But all of a sudden last night when I went online, now they said that they would like to schedule me for a Windows 10 update. And they gave me a date and time, Monday, April 11th. And they gave me a choice, upgrade now or reschedule. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom of the pop-up, they said, do not schedule. So I clicked do not schedule on the pop-up code, and I got offline, I think.
Yeah.
And I was curious to see if what would happen if I click on the notification again. And it still says, if we would like to schedule you for an update under date and time.
Yep.
Suffice it to say, I haven't gone back online because I'm kind of panicked and I'm trying to get all my backups together so before the date. But I wanted to know, does do not schedule mean that they're actually not going to schedule, or are they actually going to try and push it on me when April 11th comes?
Good question.
You know, I don't know the answer, unfortunately, to that. I mean, that sounds like that third choice basically means postpone. But I've heard of some people that I wasn't even aware of that third choice. I've heard of do it now or schedule it another date. I haven't heard of that third choice, DJ. Yeah.
Yeah, it's right at the very bottom of the pop-up.
Right,
window.
Right.
And there's no close button now anymore anyway. And so I said, let me click do not schedule. But I don't know what they mean by that.
Didn't you share something about something where you can completely eliminate
You could turn off Windows Update, but the problem is that when you turn that off, you turn everything off.
I don't
want
to do that. Yeah, no.
Well, let me ask you.
I have an email that I just wrote last week, and if I can dig it up quick enough, that basically describes how to eliminate that notification.
That's
if you don't want to be updated to Windows 10, you can uninstall one of Microsoft's security updates. It's basically that was put on your computer, and then it will stop trying to push Windows 10 onto your computer. I'll have to try to dig that up and try to post it on our site.
You're saying if you
I think I put it on the Hang on a second. I think I put it on the Facebook site. Let me dig into this while we're talking.
So let me ask you this question. How are you backing up your machine prior to this? Are you putting it on a external drive? How are you doing that?
I'm going to put it on an external drive, one of those little passport external drives. I don't want to go to the cloud.
Okay, so if you want to do that and you haven't implemented this fix that they're about to tell you about for the backup, take the Ethernet cable out of the back of your computer, and then that way it won't back up. They can't shove the update down to you. Now you won't be able to get on the internet for right now, but you'll be able. Is it a desktop computer or a laptop?
No, it's a laptop.
Then just turn you're getting it through Wi-Fi?
Yeah, so I just turn it off.
Just turn your Wi-Fi off for right now. Get your backup done, and then once these guys tell you when it's going to be posted up there for you to get the information, then just turn your Wi-Fi back on, go get the information, do the fix, and you should be good.
Okay, can I ask a question? The fix, it gets rid of the notification. Will it get, but will it stop the update? Because I don't mind the notification. I don't mind clicking it off. It's at the actual update. Yeah. I'm not afraid of the notification.
Right.
Because they notified me. They gave me a date and time.
Yeah.
Who haven't had that.
They're still going to try to push around it. There are some people who feel that Microsoft will do exactly that. They'll try to push to the front of the line. We'll keep on looking into that, though, and see if we can give you more a little firmer answer on that, okay?
So continue to listen.
Yeah, continue to listen. We'll keep digging here, okay?
Yep.
Thank you so much.
And if you go into your programs and features, you can uninstall KB3035583, and we'll try to post that on our website, at internetadvisor.net, on an article on basically how to disable Windows 10 from being pushed to your computer.
We'll repeat that again when we come back, folks, so don't worry about that, okay? Back in just a moment. Thank you very much, by the way, to Eric Dorsch and to Mike Parsons, who was working today as our screener. Glad to have you guys back there behind the glass and helping us out. Thank you so much. Foster Brown, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson in here to help you with some answers. And the number to call, by the way, is 800-859-0957. Please do not wait until the end of the program. We get a stampede, and then we really can't get to your program, your questions to get some answers for you. I want to do something, guys, before we go too much further in this. I think we need to say to people, Windows 10 is not the boogeyman that everybody seems to be making it out.
No,
and as a matter of fact, if you're coming out of Windows 7 or even Windows 8.1, it's a vast improvement.
Yep, and that's an excellent point. I was looking forward to it. There are some people that... What happened, unfortunately, is a lot of people were experiencing difficulties with the 10, and it never completed updating, or maybe possibly it disabled their computer.
Mm-hmm.
But the story goes, it's the squeaky wheels that you hear the most.
Yep.
So if you have a half of 1% of people that experienced problems, or 1% of people that...
Makes the headlines.
Those are the people the one you're going to hit the headlines.
Yep.
There are fixes out there that will basically... that you can disable the notifications and it from updating on your computer.
And what we're going
to
do
is... And we'll try to post that.
Yeah, we'll post that on our Facebook page, and we'll also put it on our homepage, internetadvisor.net.
Or you can just go to a mature version of 10, which is Mac OS 10. And you won't have that problem at all.
Yeah, but then
you'll have a whole host of other problems, Cal.
Yeah, but then you'd have to pay $1,000 tax just for the hardware.
Oh, but it's beautiful hardware.
Okay, how long is Windows, or is Microsoft going to support Windows 7?
Okay, so Windows 7 is going to, the mainstream support for Windows 7 ended January 13th, 2015. For critical updates, they will continue to do them until January 14th, 2020.
2020. Okay.
And for Windows 8, they ended mainstream support. They will end mainstream support January 9th, 2018, and continue extended support all the way to January 10th, 2023.
I'll be retired by then, I hope.
At least.
You know, Microsoft is focused on making Windows 10 the method of keeping people as up-to-date as possible with operating systems that are debugged, that are safe, et cetera, et cetera. Now, people will say, that's nice, but I don't want to put my computer in somebody else's hands. Okay.
You know, the other thing I figured out the other day, I was trying to figure out, why are they pushing this? Why are they pushing this? And I thought about it. I go, like, this is a good idea for them. Because if they push Windows 10 for free to everybody, Now they only have to support one operating system instead of four or five of them out there, and then they can have everybody dancing in unison as they go along.
Well, same thing Apple does.
Yes,
exactly. Same thing Apple does. Yeah, with iOS and also with the phones with iOS or with Android with the operating systems there as well. So that's part of some of the logic behind it.
It's the new culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Brand new culture. I think it says Americans, we hate letting anybody tell us anything.
Yeah.
You got to do this. I think just kind of culturally, we hate that kind of thing.
Instead of looking at all the benefits that come from those things.
Dan in Royal Oak, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Thank you. What can we do for you?
I got an HP printer about a year ago, and it was wireless. And when it goes to sleep, and I send a print to it from my tablet upstairs, it doesn't wake up. And I have to come downstairs and turn the printer on in order for it to print.
Which model is that printer, sir?
7640. HP Envy.
HP Envy. Okay, that's one of the newer ones.
You know, my kids don't wake up the first time I try to wake them up either.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know. But your printer should.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that if I haven't used my HP printer, like when we came back from vacation after being out of the house for a week, I actually had to go down there and press it for it to be recognized. It didn't wake up, but that was a one-off, I'm thinking, because I use it almost daily, and it should have woken up.
You know, Dan, I found something else called HP ePrint. Have you seen that, Ed?
Yeah, well, the ePrint is basically you're sending an email to the printer, and you have to go through the additional steps of configuring the printer at the website, and then it gives the printer basically a unique email address.
Right,
and your printer is in constant contact with a Hewlett-Packard website, so there's always that communication for between your printer and HP's website, and an email is sent to the mailbox at HP and then directed to your printer.
Right, exactly. It hooks you up. Go ahead.
Have you done all the firmware updates for that particular printer?
No.
You may want
to. I have not done anything to it.
Yeah, you may want to go to the HP website. I'm looking out there right now. There's a couple of firmware updates out there, and there's also a troubleshooting guide as well to go along with it. You want to make sure that is up to date, because that might be part of the reason why it's not waking up when it needs to.
And usually HP, they've made it much easier now where you can download the firmware update. It searches your, it's a utility where it searches your network for that printer and says, aha, is this the printer you wish to apply this network, this firmware update for? It's not like the old days where you had to type in the IP address or even hardwire it to a USB cable. It'll actually just go out and scour your home network for the printer. Very nice.
By the way, would you guys do, there are some listeners out there who are hearing this word firmware used a lot. What is firmware and a firmware update?
Well, there's three parts of languages for hardware in the computer world. You have hardware. Hardware is the actual physical device, the computer.
Yeah, silicone.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Then you have software. Software are all the programs, Microsoft Word and Safari and Internet Explorer. And then you have something in the middle between the two of them called firmware. Firmware is software specifically programmed for the hardware to understand and be able to do things, manipulating both the hardware or what the software is giving it to.
And the firmware is actually written to chips on your computer.
Put it that way. Okay.
Yeah. So it is very specific to a particular type of piece of hardware.
Okay. And that's the important part about it. And that's why it's so important that you check for firmware updates.
So what has probably happened with his printer is that he bought it. It was in a box. It's been sitting on a shelf forever.
Right.
During that time that it was sitting on the shelf, they discovered, this thing doesn't wake up properly. So they had to change the firmware code on it. And if he uploads that firmware into his printer, it may resolve the problem.
Yeah, it's actually an update for that to take care of bugs.
Correct.
Okay, Dan, makes sense to you?
I'll give it a try. I appreciate your help, guys.
You're welcome, Dan. Thank you
very
much.
Excellent suggestion, Cal. That was good.
That was a very good one. Okay, again, 800-859-0957. We do this, by the way, every Saturday between 5 and 6 p.m. We open up our phone lines and give you a chance to ask your questions of us. Now, by the way, this also goes out on a network when we are not live on the air. And if you have a question, you can simply go to our homepage, which is internetadvisor.net, and then you will find a contact button on the top of the page there. Click on that, and you can send us a question with your email. The same thing goes, by the way, on the homepage, because at the very bottom, there's a comment box, and you can, again, put your question in there and send it to us with your email address, and we do our very best during the week. Ed's been really busy this last week in particular. I know Ed saw you working hard answering questions that have come in during
the week. I never should have installed the email for Internet Advisor on my smartphone. Let me put it that way.
So the questions do get Al, Ed and Cal, and Shane as well, does his very best to peek in as well. But during the program here on Saturdays, we're wide open for your questions. So please, we got about 20 minutes till the show ends, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Joe in Livonia. Joe, how can we help you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
A quick question that you guys were just talking about in terms of firmware, mm-hmm. and then I want to talk about something called Vivaldi.
Vivaldi, okay.
Okay.
God bless you.
So, is firmware another way of saying the updates for the OSs?
No, because the OS gets software updates. Firmware is strictly updates for the hardware itself.
Yeah, so, you know, HP might release a firmware update like for the BIOS for their computer. Firmware, you know, there's firmware updates for my smartphone, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's the difference then between firmware and OSs?
OSs are software. That's software that works itself on top of the higher layer of the machine.
Yeah, they're all software. It's all software and code.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
That where is it stored? Is it stored on the in the memory or the hard drive or the solid state drive, or is it stored on like what we used to call EEPROMs in the old days?
Yep.
Or EEPROMs, which are now just, what are they called now? Flash drive, yeah, flash
or flash memory, whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once the difference with firmware is, once it's installed, it stays.
Yeah,
right.
Where when you boot up a machine, the operating system loads from the hard drive into memory, stays there as long as the computer continues to run. When you turn the computer off, it leaves memory. Firmware stays in the chip once it's burned in there.
Okay, so what's Vivaldi?
All right, Vivaldi supposedly is a new browser that was partly written by one of the co-writers of Opera.
Okay,
which is another browser, by the way.
And Opera, I think Opera just made a big release, I heard, last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know if it's Mac compatible?
No idea.
Okay. So anyway, Vivaldi is a new program which is supposed to be better than Chrome. It is written for Windows 32 and 64-bit. For Linux, at least 32 and 64, I think, is the way it was translated. And for Mac OSs from 10.7 and above.
Yeah, they do they do make it for Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so my question is, have any of you guys had a chance to mess with it at all, or have you heard anything?
Be ready for this one. You are the innovator. You're the first one that I've ever heard talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. And actually, it looks like they just made it available. Matter of fact, they just have patch version 1.1, as you probably know as well. So it was just released. How long ago, Joe, do you think it was released?
It was the beginning of the month.
I was looking at March. Yeah, March 30th, April 1st. Yeah.
About 14, 15 days ago.
So that's good to know. So you're
leading edge.
Leading edge. So we're going to have to look at into that. We're going to have our Mac people look into that.
And definitely, and one of the things I see in a review here is that it doesn't gobble up as much resources as Chrome does. Although I have to say, Chrome has been one of my favorites to use. Hey, Joe, thanks again for questioning and for sending us off in a brand new direction as well. Back in just a moment to answer your question, 800-859-0957. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor. Been a great show today. We started off with our eyes in the sky with Brother Guy Consolmagno. And by the way, as of Sunday night, you'll be able to go to internetadvisor.net and hear the podcasts of the entire 2 hours if you'd like, or just selected segments of the program, including this part of the program where we answer people's questions.
So we started with the eyes to the sky, and then we felt the good earth with
beneath our feet.
Yes. Yeah, so it's just been a wonderful show.
Yeah, it's been a very good one. All right, let's go to Pat, who's with us from Redford. Pat, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you. What can we do for you?
My next-door neighbor is computer illiterate. He has a Mac that he bought in 2008, and I went over to add some memory to his machine and discovered he's still on Snow Leopard. I'm sorry, Leopard. And he can't upgrade to anything until we go to Snow Leopard. So I had him order the disk from Apple and got the disk. We put it in the machine, and it spins and grinds a few times and shoots it right back out again.
What sort of disc did you now the Snow Leopard disc that you took to him, was that from a Mac that someone had bought, or was it a retail version of Snow Leopard?
No, it's right from Apple. The Snow Leopard disc, he ordered it from Apple last week for $19.95.
Okay, and he put it in his machine, it ground and whirled, and then just spit it right out.
Yep, just came out, no error messages, no nothing.
Did he try putting it into the machine and doing a restart and then hold down the option key?
Yes, I was the one doing all that. I have done everything. Okay. I mean, I've been on the internet reading, trying everything possible, and I'm just at my wit's end. I don't know what else.
Well, I mean, does the Mac play music CDs or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely.
Just wanted to make sure.
Okay. I can even run the disk utilities on the utility CD that came with the machine. Everything runs fine except for that OS X Snow Leopard.
Hmm. Okay, so what you're going to want to do is this. If you get back on this machine, you go up to the Apple and look at about this Mac.
Yep.
And it should tell you a serial number on that.
Okay.
And you copy that serial number, and then you just go to apple.com, click on the support link, and go to the bottom of the page where you check to see if there's still warranty on your machine. And if you click on that link, you'll put the serial number in there, and then it will tell you specifically what type of machine that is, iMac mid-2010 or whatever it is. Once you have that information, then go on the same Apple website and search for OS that will work with that particular model, and it should tell you whether or not Snow Leopard will work with it. Either one or two things are happening. Either A, you have a model that Snow Leopard will not run on, or B, more likely, you've got a CD from Apple that is defective and they need to send you another one.
Okay, and well, this is the second CD. I should say the day after he ordered it, he found the other Snow Leopard in his desk. So we tried both, and both of them fail.
If you take that, do you have a Mac yourself?
No, I'm a Windows guy.
Okay.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
I'm learning.
If you got a chance, maybe what you might want to do is, does he live anywhere near an Apple store?
Not half hour or so.
I'd put the machine in the car, take the two discs with you, drive over to the store, and walk in. They'll be more than glad to tell you whether or not that's going to work in that machine and why it's not working.
And Pat, you live in Redford, right?
Yeah.
I suggest you go to Somerset.
Or the 12 Oaks store, either one.
Well, 12 Oaks isn't as big. Does it have it?
Yeah, 12 Oaks is just as
well. Oh, okay,
well.
I beg your pardon. Okay.
Either one would be just fine.
Okay.
Go in there. They'll be more than glad to help you out with it. And
for free or what?
Oh, yeah. They'll look at it for free.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and because he just bought that disc, they'll be more than glad to help him out with it.
I've heard you guys talk about PC Gladiator and Livonia over there. Do they work on Macs?
I don't even know.
Oh, we've had the guys in from Apple. What's the Apple shop that's over there on the west side?
Mac
Connection.
Well, but they're all the way over.
They're in Novi now.
They're over by Novi too.
Well, and he's in Redford, so he's not that far from him. Look, we're gonna try to find that. It's just slipping my aging mind.
Yeah, it's not popping in my head right now. But if you go to the Apple store, they'll be more than glad to help you on that. Seriously.
Okay.
And that'd probably be your best choice at this particular point. And they'll be able to tell you whether it's a bad CD-ROM drive, which it isn't because it plays music, or whether or not those discs are compatible with that model.
Okay, but you're telling me the serial number will tell me whether it's compatible with Snow Leopard or not.
It will tell you what model, what type of iMac it is or Mac it is, and then you can cross-reference it and find out whether or not that model is compatible with Snow Leopard.
Okay, well, everything I read says it is, but I'll double check again with that serial number.
Good. Okay.
Good. Okay. Hey, Pat, thanks so much for being a real friend to your friend there. Hope we can help you. And we will try to look up that information and have it back for you.
You know, in the old days, if I did that from my neighbor, I'd get a six-pack.
Yeah, don't put ideas in his head.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mo from Brooklyn, Michigan, down by the border. How can we help you, sir?
Good afternoon. Hi, guys.
Hi, good.
Hey, by the way, I love Windows 10, so I did a clean load on mine, and it works great.
Excellent. Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
My question is, I bought a older laptop, a Sony Vaio, I can't say it.
Vaio, yeah.
The battery was going dead. I bought it from a coworker, and the battery stopped holding a charge. So I went through a local guy, and he got a battery for me. Well, it wasn't authentic or you know, Sony, and it just wouldn't charge. Now, if I ran it without the charging cord, it would start up, you know, by itself. It was about half charged when I got it.
Right.
But when I put the charger in, it just says won't charge. Now, there was some BIOS updates that I saw that I think they were having trouble with batteries overheating, and I tried that and said I had the latest BIOS. So have you guys ever heard of that, where some Sonys have to need a genuine Sony battery?
Well, I mean, it's like that with some manufacturers. I'm not sure about Sony or not. It is like that with Dells. And, matter of fact, Dells, if they ever get to a certain life, they'll refuse to charge. Which is really, you get the notifications about the end of life. I've purchased used batteries from Amazon just fine, and even eBay. But, have you tried? So it's not charging at all when you plug it in? When you actually attach it?
Huh. When I plug in the charger, it won't. It says not charging.
Not charging. I mean, that's right. Possible, and I had that with the... So it says not charging, but yet you can leave it like that, and it will continue to charge, if you will, or stay at half-life?
Kel?
It'll start depleting.
Okay.
I just found a link out here that says something about you have to go out and uninstall the Microsoft ACPI compliant.
Yes, I did that.
Oh, you did. Okay, good move.
Good for you.
Yeah, under properties and under.
Yeah, I mean, battery, it really sounds like you got a bad battery. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
But it is possible that motherboards also lose the ability to charge, you know, because they're two different, there's two different power subsystems.
Well, if I put the old battery in, it will charge.
Okay, then that's not the problem then.
I'd say the battery itself is probably an issue, and I would probably get it exchanged for a different one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've done that. Thank you so much.
Oh, you've done that already.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy. Mo, I tell you what.
I haven't got a new one yet, but I
turned it. Yeah. Well, you know what I did is I went onto eBay and Amazon and actually bought, you know, there's people out there that refurbish. They part out computers, and they'll sell you a genuine Sony battery that maybe has a year on it because someone, a college kid, dropped it, you know?
Yep. Okay, Mo, hey, thanks for your call. We will do our best to find some of those answers that we're looking at there. I'm not remembering that darn Apple firm that we had on the air. We talked with them. They're out on the west side. We'll try to find that information. We'll put it on our homepage, and we'll put it on our Facebook page as well. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Internet Advisor. If we don't have the questions answered right now, we'll get them answered for you, and you simply have to go to internetadvisor.net, and we will post them there, and you can get more answers to your questions there. Thanks so much, Ed and Cal, for being with us, and for the folks behind the glass, thank you as well. We look forward to seeing you next week on the Internet Advisor.